reminded of a time when Jeremy was giving a seminar on his work in trying to measure the interaction between the electron and the neutron. And he said, "We made up for our ambition through lack of accomplishment." That's wonderful. Jeremy was a marvelous guy. Nancy was secretary to him and Edward Teller at Chicago.
Wow.
So we already knew Edward pretty well. We got to know Fermi and his wife. Anyway, the toroidal system is of the following kind. You have, it's a three-dimensional case, and there are three kinds of surfaces, just as there are in ordinary Cartesian coordinates. One of these surfaces is a torus, you know, a donut. Mm-hmm. Goes around like this. Another one consists of planes through the z-axis, you know, the usual phi component. And the third one is bowls that the basic thing is the directrix line that has half length A, and the torus, the tori start out with, they're all circular cross section right around that endpoint, but then as you go to larger values, that center point moves outward and you generate things that look like this. Okay, the series of toruses, and those are specified by a parameter known as mu. The phi component is specified as usual by the sort of an angular momentum quantum number m, and the other component, which actually determines the direction around these toruses, is known as eta, and those characterized by these bowls that pass through this line. There'd be a bowl around here like that, spherical bowl. All right, now when you a fantastic series of coincidences. When you take this, when you write the Laplacian in these coordinates, and then you replace the dependent variable, say the potential, by, in other words, you replace psi, the ordinary scalar potential, say, by a thing that you might call F times P minus. Now, P minus squared is the cosh of mu minus the cosine of eta. It's a funny looking thing, but when you do that, then you get out an equation in these nutty coordinates, that is mu, eta, and phi, that's the Legendre equation, and it has as its solution Legendre polynomials. And I was stunned when I found that out. But that doesn't help with the with this nonlinear term in the, and I haven't yet found the key to the quantization. That is, I can fit anything, all three of these particles, if you tell me what the Compton wavelength is. And, you know, plug that in, and then everything comes up. You have the right magnetic moments and the right masses and all that kind of stuff. But what causes that quantization is a different matter. Now, I have one clue to that. So far, the problems that I've been able to solve have this electron, this charge, moving around in that spherical, like a wire loop. But there's another kind of motion. See, that's a motion in phi. But there's another kind of motion that is allowed by the differential equation, but I don't know how to put it in. And what that involves is this motion around in the eta. That is, the solutions involve e to the im phi, just like you'd expect, times an e to the I n eta. So the idea here is that you've got this electron moving around this loop, but at the same time it's doing this. Okay? Now the sticking point is to calculate what is the value of A that results from that kind of a motion, and that's what I haven't yet succeeded in doing. But it has this feature. If you let part of the current, see, part of the current is moving in this direction, but also parts going around. That part that's going around generates, let me draw a different here. Let's say that this is going around there, and on the other side, it's doing this. It's, yeah. Okay. That is, this is the inside. I'll dash that, and this is the inside here. Okay. Now, that current corresponds to a magnetic field that's coming out of the board here. Okay. And you have a similar situation over here. I can see how those two currents would cancel each other and cause the thing to contract, which is what you need in order to explain these higher members of the series, because you have, in effect, a higher magnetic pressure on one side. But that's only an idea so far, not yet demonstrated. But you can see why I haven't published this. It's very speculative. That is, that's one reason I haven't published it. The other is I haven't got time. The good reason is I don't know the answer. Well, there's lots more I could tell you about.
Oh, I know. It's it's up to you if you want to.
Yeah, well,
more things, fine.
I don't want to wear you out. I did mention. There's a great interaction between the courses I've taught and some of the military stuff, but also the research. For example, I wrote a chapter on electrodynamics, which has got some unique stuff in it. These are the relativistic four vectors of all kinds, as you think of writing. They have often that surprising fourth component, the fourth component of R, of course, ICT, but then of the velocity, it's the gamma times IC and so on. Here's the quad operator and all that. So, you
this is a whole chapter on that, that kind of stuff. And also I get into the transformation properties of the fields themselves under Lorentz transformation. This is, it's a different formulation of, gives the same results, but it's more like a chemist formulation than some of these fancier. You've seen some of these papers, you know, where the guy says, now let's consider the Maxwell's equation, you know. That's the whole setup. Oh, there was one other thing. Nah, keep thinking of things.
That's right.
I had a program that I called Isomorphs. This was to be a teaching device. The idea being that there are quite a few problems in chemical physics that have the same mathematical form. All you got to do is change the identity of the meaning of the symbols, and then take over intact all of the rest of it. So I wrote one of these. I wrote several of them, but this is the first one: the classical linear harmonic oscillator. And that just gives the concept, and then go through the setting the background for this. But then what's interesting is the applications that come. Here is a simple pendulum, torsion pendulum, the vibrations of a mercury manometer, the quartz fiber microbalance and bending of a beam. The Helmholtz resonator, this is a nifty way of determining the gamma for a gas with this apparatus. I built one of those and still have it. I don't have it here. And molecular vibrations of all kinds with CO2. You can get quite a few results out of this quickly by looking at calculating the shift in frequencies due to isotopic substitution. This is a compendium of diatomic molecules vibrating. You can derive various simple rules for energy relation to frequency and so on. Isotope effects. This is isotope effects in ammonia and phosphine, and get pretty close just by looking at those. These are torsional effects in the ethane. All these are, this is the ethane torsional energy level, and normal mode, we don't treat like that. And do that with matrices, secular equation and all that, crystals and liquids, compressibilities, and the whole bit. Bond force constant relation. All hangs together in a neat way. Now that the pedagogical virtue that I had in mind was but if the student learns the basics of this, then they can go ahead and apply it to all these things. You don't have to learn so much. It's always bothered me, you know, that there are about 1 million pages a year come out in chemical physics. Now, suppose only 0.1% of that is worth a damn. That may be an overestimate, I don't know. But that 0.1% is a 1,000-page book. Now, there's no way that the educational system has other than to pile that on top of the graduate students. Mm-hmm. Well, it's got to be condensed and shoved down, but you know, there's no reward for that. In fact, it's quite the contrary. You do that and you don't do research, you don't get promoted.
Sure.
So it's, it seems to me it's up to a few of the elders of the society to do a certain amount of that. So that was what this was about.
Excellent.
Well, maybe enough, huh?
Well, I've enjoyed it very much.
Well, actually, I have too.
I thank you for taking the time to meet with me today. I think maybe this would be an appropriate point to stop, but after you see the transcript, I know I'll be back in the area from mm-hmm. time to time. If mm-hmm. you want to add some more or sit down for a little for another session, well, we can do that as well.
I think we've touched most of the high points anyway.
It's been very interesting.
There's you know, I've told you almost nothing about what's gone on in the business. It's, but they're all technical things.
Mm. I'm still amazed that you've really maintained almost three separate lives. I suppose you have your academic world, you have mm-hmm. your military world, you have your business world here, and that while they're all intermixed a little bit, you really have kept, for the most part, these three separate lives going mm-hmm. for a long period of time.
Yeah. Well, it's been interesting anyway.
Okay, well, thank you again very much.
Well, I appreciate your interest and your patience. My God.